I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
For over 10 years, VOC Nation has taken listeners behind the scenes of the greatest moments in pro wrestling history. Our hosts are not only experts on the business, but have lived in the business. Subscribe and hear weekly podcasts from hosts like legendary pro wrestling journalist Bill Apter, former Impact Wrestling star Wes Briscoe, former WWE and AWA broadcaster Ken Resnick, former WWE and TNA star Shelly Martinez, former WCW star The Maestro, NWA legend The Raging Bull Manny Fernandez, and much more. VOC Nation programming is free on most major podcasting apps, including iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and Radio.com. And video podcast and bonus content is available on Patreon for as low as $3 a month. What are you waiting for? Head to VOCNation.com and dig into the most comprehensive podcast network built for pro wrestling fans. Find us on Facebook and Instagram at VOC Nation Wrestling Network and follow us on Twitter at VOC Nation.
Welcome to WCW Retro. I'm your host for the evening, Papa Stro, the Maestro of Wrestling. Always great to have you guys with us. It's the Wild Wild West of podcasts. Just the place to be, folks. We talk about past, present, future professional wrestling, but so much more. You never know who's going to call and tap the fun. And tonight's a very special night. We're going to be talking giants, monsters, and beasts of professional wrestling through the years. So if you have any favorite stories or favorite moments with your favorite giant, monster, or beast of pro wrestling, please call in and give us your great memories and feedback. And call back and call anytime, actually, to tonight's podcast as well. 914-338-1885. Once again, that number is 914-338-1885. So, lots to talk about tonight. As well as many other topics that we'll be discussing. First off, give us some shout-outs, if you will, and some plugs. Shout-outs to Masters of Ring Entertainment, mastersofringentertainment.com, Fishing with Special Friends at fishingwithspecialfriends.com, Cauliflower Alley Club reunion. It's going to be happening this month. Unfortunately, I won't be able to attend this year, but I'm hoping things will be eligible for me to return next year's CAC. But if you're in the area, go support a great cause, great company that helps a lot of us in the pro wrestling industry. Cauliflower Alley Club, and support them at their website at cauliflowerallyclub.org. That's cauliflowerallyclub.org. Support our friends in Innovative Hybrid Wrestling in the Maritimes area in Canada at facebook.com/IHW Wrestling. Shockwave Wrestling Entertainment, which I have just started doing commentary for, And next year I'll be doing commentary for Shockwave Wrestling Entertainment. It will be September 18th at the Fall Fair at the Craven County JC's Fairgrounds in New Bern, North Carolina. But for more information, support Shockwave Wrestling Entertainment at shockwavewrestling.com. That's shockwavewrestling.com. And come see us September 18th. The movie that I'm going to be in, starring Dr. Arkham in The Devil's Daughter, will be premiering at the Golden Ticket Cinemas Twin in Lenoir, North Carolina, October 30th. And it's going to have support Gracious Hands, which helps support victims of domestic violence and abuse for a good cause. So support our premiere, The Devil's Daughter, October 30th. For more information, go to The Devil's Daughter's Facebook page at facebook.com/realdevilsdaughter. I'm an upcoming horror movie that will be out possibly later on this year called Stench of Iniquity, which I'm starring as an ancient vampire, rather, named Abba in the film. For more information on that upcoming film, go to facebook.com/stenchofiniquity. I'll be also on set later on this year for the fourth season, The Dust series, which you can check out all three seasons of The Dust series on their YouTube channel at youtube.com/dustseries. I currently star as the Chief in that series, so go check out all three seasons of The Dust series on YouTube if you haven't got a chance to. Also, for social media roundup, my official website is thestro.com, S-T-R-O.com, T-H-E-S-T-R-O.com. My merchandise page is thestro.com/merchandise. I have current Papa Ween merchandise for October, so get your Papa Ween merch today for all ages, including pets. That's thestro.com/merchandise. If you'd like to send me a donation, buy me a cup of coffee, tips, etc., thank you for those who have donated to me thus far. Much love and appreciation for that. If you'd like to donate to yours truly, Papa Stro, send it to my PayPal at paypal.me/Papa Stro. That's paypal.me/Papa Stro. Thank you in advance for your support. And I'm accepting bookings, guys. I haven't retired yet. The Nature Boy says, to quote the Nature, I haven't retired yet. I'm still taking bookings for wrestling, commentary, voiceover. You'd like to cast me for your television or film? Comic cons, conventions, autograph signings, seminars, radio interviews, charities, etc. I do a lot these days. If you'd like to book yours truly, Papa Stro, for your event, email me at stro4you@yahoo.com. Let's talk business. And if you'd like to be a special guest on an upcoming episode of WCW Retro, hit me up. Email me, WCWRetro@yahoo.com. Let's get you some exposure, you will, on WCW Retro. And before we go to the commercial break and get back and talk Giants, Monsters, and Beasts, if you will, I'd like to take a moment of silence to the passing of a really good friend of mine in the pro wrestling business. One of my wrestling sisters was always good to me, and it was such a pleasure to work with during our time at WCW. Unfortunately, she passed away recently and she was loved by many of us in the wrestling industry. And heart of gold, a total sweetheart, never since the word. And such a positive force in our business. And I would like to give my condolences and my heartfelt thoughts and prayers to her family, friends. And we will never forget you. Love and respect always. Since 10 Bell salutes for you. Love you, always will. Shannon Sproul, Daphne. We'll be right back in just a few minutes, folks. Stick with us.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, this is Total Package, Lex Luger, and you're listening to the VOC Nation. Don't miss out.
Since 2018, there's only been one program that brings you artists from around the world, both big and small, brings you the best in local talent, and hosts live events. Rock and Roll Union is all of that and more. With CT McManus, the lovely D, and new co-host Psycho Steve Preston, you're sure to get everything you need. So tune in Mondays at 6 p.m. for your one-stop shop for all things rock and roll. Rock and Roll Union, music worth fighting for.
Check out In the Room.
Every Tuesday night at 9, listen in.
Pro Wrestling Illustrated's Brady Hicks, former WCW star Stro Maestro, Kazzy Fist, Matt Grimm.
And you and Ray are there too, right, Ray?
We sure are, and we've got great guests like Lex Luger, AJ Styles, Taku, and more. It's a heck of a party. Plus,
I didn't get thrown off buildings.
And then
I didn't get pregnant either.
Sometimes I think it gets so ridiculous.
We were getting into, like, snuff film territory there.
In the Room.
9 p.m. Eastern on VOC Nation.
Wrestling with History, the voice of choice, and Killer Ken Resnick.
When I die, they're going to open me up and find about 2,000 undigested Northwest Airline cheese omelets.
Mr. Chris Cruz, what's going on?
Jesus, how did I get roped into this?
General Adnan went to school with Saddam Hussein.
He cried, I cried, he cried, and who could have
cried? Adnan lost a lot of family in the Iraqi war.
Everybody loves Granny.
Wow. Yeah, see, a lot of people don't know that.
Yes, Dylan, you guys are busting me up.
Catch Wrestling with History with Ken Resnick and I live on VOCNation.com or listen to the podcast by searching VOC Nation Radio Network on your favorite podcast app.
Each and every Thursday night, check it out. WCW star Stro Maestro takes you on a journey. It's WCW Retro. talking old school match of the week, talking dream matches, taking your calls and looking back on an incredible career of acting, entertaining, and wrestling. Check it out, VOCNation.com, WCW Retro. Be sure to call in Thursday nights, 9 Eastern, on the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Yo, this is Jerry Stein of the Nasty Boys. Yeah, Brian Knobs, yeah, you get nasty. Well, listen to the VOC Nation, baby, because it's about to get nasty all around and up in this mother. Get ready. Nasty Sensation is coming at you.
The worldwide leader in entertainment. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Welcome back to WCW Retro. Great to have you guys with us as always. And tonight, we're talking giants, monsters, and beasts. So anytime you guys want to call and give your feedback or your favorite memories or any giants, monsters, and beasts through the years of your choosing, call in, please. 914-338-1885. Once again, that number is 914-338-1885. And let's get to the callers, shall we? All right, first off, I believe this is the lovely Kathy Fitzpatrick from In the Room. Welcome back, Kathy. How you doing?
Hey, Joe. How are you tonight?
Getting over a crazy day, but great.
Yes, it
has been. Great to be here with you. Oh man, I'm like a lot of us can't get over the passing of Daphne. Man, that's just wow.
Yeah, you know, I was going to post something on my Facebook today about, you know, everyone has problems. No one knows what goes on everyone's mind because you're not around everybody constantly. But, you know, you just have, if there's anyone out there in the business that's listening, we may sat a Waffle House or something or chatted. There's always someone to talk to. Always. You know, it may be just like, hey, how you doing? Hey, you want that cup of coffee? Hey, come on, let's get grab a soda. But there's always someone to talk to. There's always someone to listen. And I don't know if you heard this, Joe, but Rikishi's niece was found murdered in California.
Oh, wow. Oh, man. I'm sorry.
I know Lloyd had put something up.
That's terrible.
That they were looking for her, and from what I understand, she was found murdered today in California. Young girl.
So
I think maybe 17, 18.
That's terrible.
You know, Shannon was a great girl. I mean, there was times with Ring of Honor when I would pick them up. One story I was telling the girls at work today. We were on at Newark Airport, and you have to take the tram, the shuttle, from one place terminal to another. And we were getting off the we were on the thing, and everybody's, you know, in their outfits and everything, looking crazy as normal. And this woman walks in and she goes, oh, are you their mother? Are you their mother? And I said, no, but I would be proud to be their mother. So as we're getting off the monorail, we're walking down, and Shannon goes, hold your ears. Thank goodness she gave me a warning, because if not, I would have jumped sky high. She let out this scream.
Oh, boy.
And then everybody's like turning around looking, and she just turned around like, wow, where'd that come from? You know? And that was the type of girl she was.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I hadn't seen her in ages, and I saw her at a convention, and she was screaming, Gabby! You know, such a nice, nice young lady. And all I can say is my thoughts and prayers are with her family and her relatives and everything. All I can say is, you know, she's not suffering anymore.
Yeah.
And
there were a lot of times I wish I had her outlook on the things, you know what I mean? To be as positive as she was a lot of times.
And just, you know, may God try to comfort the family. Both the Kishi family and Shannon's family.
Absolutely. You guys, if you can keep Shannon's family and Rikishi's family with awesome prayers. They truly need it right now, for sure. And they're definitely mine, and as well as Kathy's. For sure. It's been a tough day, but you know, we'll persevere. We'll get through it. Right?
Yes, we will. Sadly, we've had to do it many times.
Yeah. What gets me, the year's not over yet. You know what I mean? Look who we've lost already this year. Crazy. It's crazy. Well, if you stick with us, Kathy, we're going to be talking Giants, Monsters, and Beasts. I know you quite a few of your favorites you would just like to share. So, oh, man. This would be a fun night, for sure. Let's bring in Professor Steve. Steve. Welcome back, brother. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. I'm glad Kathy could call in. I do have some on-topic picks, but I did briefly interact with Daphne, and it's not appropriate for me to talk about here, but I do want to share with you after the show. But she was pretty cool to interact with. Thoughts and prayers, energy towards her family and friends, and I really become a fan of Crowbar recently.
Yeah.
So he's in my thoughts.
Oh, he's a great
too.
Guy.
Daphne,
mm-hmm.
So. On topic, when you were on the tonight's theme, I gotta go with Dan Severn as the my first.
Oh yeah,
beast.
Yeah.
he's a gentleman beast. He's a beast, but he's a gentleman at the same time. Great guy, love Dan.
Very accomplished martial artist and pro wrestler, NWA champion. And a UK champion up here in black belts and jiu-jitsu and judo and UFC legacy. I really like his podcast with Don Fry. Hilarious stuff with those two bantering, bickering, and have to go with them. Like, I think the dream match besides Haku and Brock Lesnar would have been Dan Severn, Brock Lesnar.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I learned a lot from Dan, training with him. We were training with a company called UWFI, which were at the time competitors for Pride Fighting. And we got to train a little bit, and I learned a lot from him. I mean, just like I said, he's as tough as they come. You know, it's foreign, but it's sort of gentleman, such a nice guy afterwards. And we've been friends ever since. Great guy.
I heard he was a fan of Luthez, and Luthez became admirer of Dan. And Al Snow, I think, trained with Dan. I wish I asked Al Snow about it when I met him, because that's pretty cool that he was able to be on Dan Severn's team in that early UFC days.
Right. right? You know, that's how we broke the ice, actually, because Lou Thesz was like my go-to guy for advice. And I always wanted to ask, like, call and ask Lou, you know, what should I do, this and that, when I was young, you know, early in my career. So it was really cool to kind of break the ice with Dan talking about Lou Thesz and everything. So
I really liked Gremlins with the Ox Baker. I guess you can consider him a monster or a beast. He got interviewed with Lou Thesz.
Ox Baker, yeah. Again, yeah. Do you remember Ox, right? Is Kathy with us?
Is Kathy?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, I'm sorry. You remember Ox Baker, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Steve just brought up Ox, man. That's awesome. I love Ox, man.
Yeah, he was great.
I love his promos. I love his promos, and I think the Heart Punch is an underrated move, and the way him and Lou Thesz interacted was fun.
Oh, Ox is great,
I think he wrestled Lou Thesz years before these promos that he was doing with them, and I guess he was alluding to Lou Thesz was knocking his teeth out years ago.
Yeah. Well, what are you going to say, Kathy?
I said I would like when he would come up to you and meet you and he'd start singing to you.
Yes. Yes.
Old time.
Yep.
Yes. Oh, man. Ox is awesome. I miss Ox, I swear. Well, sit tight, guys. We're going to invite some more people here to the party here. First off, let's bring in, okay, 854 area code. So let's see who this is. Welcome to WCW Retro.
Hey, Papa Stro. How you doing?
Hey, welcome back. Welcome back, Malcolm. How you been?
Good to hear your voice.
Hey, I called in for one reason. I met Daphne 3 times. She was so nice to me. I mean, it was hard for me, Papa Stro, because she Ashley Massaro. She committed suicide just for StarCast, and it really hit me. These are 2 nice young ladies. They're much younger than I am. I told you, Hefner, I want to date somebody that's my age so I got something to talk about, you know, as I grow old. And I don't, Hulk Hogan said, I don't think I'll ever get old. You know, I'll still be running wild, you know, when I'm 90 years old, I think, you know. But, you know, Daphne, I don't know. I met her at Big Time Wrestling the first time we were at the Holiday Inn, and it was an event. And I remember talking to her and Bailey Davina Rose at that time. This was a summer, sometime in 2010, and Davina and me and Daphne were talking, and then I met her at the autograph session, and Lillian Garcia was with me, and the Iron Sheik, and Nikolai Volkoff, and Virgil, and Don Marie came up.
Wow.
And we were having
what
a good
crew.
Time all of us together. We were joking, and Daphne, you know, she told me, then I met her in Miami, Florida. I won that trip to WrestleMania 28 in 2012. And we were at this hotel, and I was with Mickey James and Matt Hardy and Robbie Yee. And then Velvet Sky came over, and we were having a good time, all of us together, him joking, and I was doing impressions for him. And I was attracting a bunch of wrestling fans at the event, you know. And I was bringing out some good vibes for people, you know. I've been thinking about this all day. I got this WCW Mayhem album on my laptop, and I was listening to like songs by Sting and Hulk Hogan and Diamond Dallas Page. And when I think about WCW, I mostly think about the Stinger over anybody. But Daphne,
gee, thanks. I feel
you
loved.
Know, even when I met her, she was just really nice. I mean, I was trying to kill her apprehensive
really
about meeting her because all that, you know, devil worshiping makeup stuff she was into, you know, I didn't know what a real life personality was going to be like. She was a total nice lady, young lady, I should say. Yeah, I just got that in.
Her gimmick at the time, the whole gothic thing was really huge back then. I mean, you had her on the scene. You had Vampiro. I mean, it was really big deal back then.
But in real life, you know, throw away the makeup and the character, you know, the evil character thing, you know, the psycho character. She is a really sweet young lady, you know.
Hey, I got room to talk, man. I have a doll with me, and I dress in black, so I got no room to talk about. you know what I mean?
In honor of Daphne,
I was watching WCW at that time. I think she would have been my favorite. But when I was watching in my youth, Victoria was my favorite. But I would have loved to have seen Victoria and Daphne against each other.
Lisa
Marie
Barone, it's a real name.
Oh,
yeah.
Amazing. Amazing.
Sorry,
Kathy.
Steve.
Kathy, and Malcolm brought some up really good points about, you know, Daphne spending time with some of the people in the business. Did you get the chance to spend any time with Daphne during some of your events that you went to?
Yeah, Ring of Honor. Mainly in the beginning days of Ring of Honor, they would bring her in.
Nice.
And, awesome. You know, she came in with Punk. And it was usually me, her, Punk, AJ Styles.
Okay.
Kathy Carino. That's basically everybody that would fit in my van.
I mean, that was a good time. Those guys.
Yeah. And that was at the
time
where Punk was actually dating her a little bit.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, so that was a long time ago.
Yeah. Wow.
Papa Stro, what was her real name?
Shannon
Sproul.
Shannon Sproul. I actually had her as a friend on my Facebook site years ago, and CM Punk was on there at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I've never met CM Punk, but I met Daphne. Shannon Sproul.
Yeah. Well, you know, both her and CM Punk were always cool to me. So, I mean,
yeah.
And I knew Shannon a little bit more action because I had more interaction with her, right, with WCW and everything. And she was always great. Matter of fact, we almost had a chance to work together, her and myself and Crowbar, towards the end of my run.
Oh yeah,
and it almost happened. And it almost happened, but you know, the office dinner. Changing door to the office back then, you know. but I mean, we traveled together, and she was such a sweetheart and just a great soul to be around. And I, like I was telling Kathy, I wish I had her mentality of more beat mentality back then, because you know, it was all right with me, but it was just certain things kind of got to me at times, and just we're dealing with. With political stuff here and there, but I mean, she just took everything with a grain of salt. Just happy-go-lucky attitude, and I wish I had more of her outlook on life, more or less, because she was great, man. Nothing but love for Daphne.
You know what's great, Papa Stro, is a lot of people don't really see this, but these wrestlers, they're not just great athletes; they're really good actors because. They put on such a good performance, especially the ones that are the bad guys, like Terry Funk. And you meet them, like the first time I met Steve Austin, I was nervous about meeting him. I didn't know his real-life personality was going to be like, but they're really nice people in real life. I'm going to say this, I think wrestlers, you know, they're putting on a show for everybody, and they're doing interviews, but, you know, behind the camera, you know, when you meet at a meet and greet, they're the nicest celebrities you can meet. In my opinion.
Oh, absolutely. Let's welcome Mr. Hollywood and Chaz Moretti to the party here. Welcome, guys. How you doing?
How you doing, Papa Stro, Maestro? We have Malcolm. We have Mr. Batham. We have Logan. That's right. Mr. Hollywood is in the house.
Get your long-winded intro out of the way and step aside,
retro,
son.
With the one and only, Papa Stro, Maestro.
All right, now we got the long-winded twins out of the way. I can make my introduction.
Wait a minute. I know that voice.
It's just me, your brother.
Yeah, well, let me tell you something, Malcolm. You know, my gimmick is no gimmick. I don't like people. Let's not get it twisted.
Why?
Because people Here, let me give you an example. A friend in need is a pest. Bobby Heenan said that.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
It's a party. It's a party.
Hey,
here,
Jeff. You want to hear this?
All right, here we go.
Maybe.
We're waiting.
Did you like that?
That was awesome, Malcolm. That was totally awesome. Totally
hey,
awesome.
Bro, he's taking your sound bits away, bro.
You've had to put them on the
switchboard.
Yeah,
yes,
honestly,
I honestly
don't have that bit, so he can claim that one all he wants.
There you go.
Hey, Bob, if you want it, I'll email it to you. The attachment.
You know what's funny, guys? You were talking about Luthez earlier, and one of the clips that when we were tape trading as teenagers that I happened to get a hold of was a clip from Georgia Championship. And it was a match between Luthez and a very young Buzz Sawyer before he became Mad
Ooh.
Dog Buzz Sawyer. And they went about 15 minutes on TV. I mean, hold for hold. You were kind of sort of waiting for Sawyer to turn on him, but he didn't do it. It was just a straight, scientific, hold for hold match. And it just showed the amount of respect that Luthez at that time was in his 60s, how much he commanded.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Luthez was amazing, man. Had a counter for just about every hold you can think of.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of bees, you brought up another a definite beast for the industry, Buzz Sawyer. Mad Dog.
Oh, most definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely wild, man.
The J-Tex Corporation.
Well, I mean, here, before that, you're looking at the last Battle of Atlanta. That match is going to go down in history as the originator of the Hell in a Cell.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Fully enclosed cage.
Even at that age, when he's with the J-Tex Corporation, he's still a great wrestler. He put on a big show.
Big show. You're missing a big show. Big show.
Oh, yeah. Matter of fact, make his AEW debut in the ring this Sunday, right? All Out.
Wow.
Is this Sunday?
Yep, that's what we're hearing.
Wow. Former WCW champion.
Right there in your neck of the woods. Yeah, right there in your neck of the woods, Chicago.
Basically, where they're going to hold that event is about 45 minutes northwest of me. When they had the event at the United Center, that was within a half mile of my place.
Wow.
And I got to tell you, the buzz that was on the internet and the buzz that was in the arena was the only buzz going on about that event in the city. I mean, I drove past it. You got about 4 or 5 blocks away from the United Center, and it was as silent as a church on Sunday. You didn't see anything, which kind of struck me funny because they filled the place, but yet there were no, you know, when the Blackhawks are playing or the Bulls are playing, they've got street vendors hawking T-shirts and hats and whatnot. You got guys trying to get people to go into the private parking lots. You didn't have that. I found it to be a little weird.
Wow.
That's
Pop Stro Maestro. Mission of Big Show. I got to talk about the Big Show. Big Show, he was the WCW World Heavyweight Champion. And I'm going to tell you something. When he joined the NWO, that was just too sweet.
Yeah, let's go.
And that was what, 30 years ago?
What's that?
Just about.
And that was how long? 30 years ago?
That's not about a good minute ago.
Mr. Hollywood.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Hollywood, you're too sweet. Sweet.
Oh, my God. Here we go.
I remember like yesterday. The Big Show, of course, he was called a giant. He was coming down the ring. I just knew he was coming to the rescue of WCW. And what did he do? He turns on WCW and goes NWO.
That is
true. He gets us two.
There's Granny Hulkster when you need her.
I know, right? Where is she?
She's probably working on a new Granny NWO Hollywood T-shirt.
She won't admit it, but she's going to heel turn too.
She's going heel. I can see it now.
She'll never admit it, but she's heel turning at some point.
Exactly.
I'm going Bollywood.
Granny Hulkster of the NWO.
Kathy, speaking of monsters of the industry, we got to put in Bull Nakano in Japan. Remember Bull Nakano?
Most definitely.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, man. He's good stuff, man.
Ooh.
But have you seen her in the past couple of years?
Yeah.
She's been down.
Great, don't
she got down to about a $140?
She looked amazing.
Yeah, she's playing golf.
Yep. Unreal. Unreal.
Big influence on Paige, I would assume, because she took the scorpion hold from Bull Nakano, and I asked Paige about Bull Nakano convention, so that's pretty cool.
That's right, she sure did.
The one hold it took her a little bit of time to admit to was the Paige Turner. That was her brother's.
Ooh.
The Paige Turner was known as the Zack Attack out in England.
Those matches that Bull Nakano had with Medusa, man, they were amazing. Just amazing.
Papa Stro, what year did Bull Nakano pass away?
He didn't.
She's still
alive.
Oh, she didn't.
Yeah.
She's still alive.
She's alive.
Well, I swear, I think I saw her long ago at Big Time Wrestling wrestle Davina Rose before, you know, when she was still, before she got to the WWE. I think that those two went at it. I'm not sure, but there was a big, obese lady, and her last name was Nakano.
That was a long time ago, brother. She's dropped weight.
But I'll tell you what, Davina Rose, was Bull Nakano. She had size on her, and Davina Rose took her best shot and came out the victor that night.
Yeah, I'm gonna say one thing about Daphne. I got to see her work at Shimmer back in 2010, 2011. Just a real down-to-earth person. Took her gimmick very seriously. You know, she was one for always looking to look out for others. And so, you know, it's a loss for sure. But, you know, one thing people were talking about, you know, they flood Facebook with condolences and they flood it with, oh, my God, I should have called her. Well, you know what? Then do it for the next person. Don't come, I should have, again.
Good point.
If you know somebody's not right or somebody's having a hard time and you're going to blow it off, because, I mean, come on, let's be honest. We all have our own lives and we all have our own problems. But if you say you're going to do something, I'm going to reach out to that person. Well, then do it. And if you don't do it, don't try to make yourself, this is the only thing that upset me today. Is if you don't do it, don't get on there and put this long spiel about how great everybody was and how much you all loved each other and how you wish you should have reached out recently and you didn't do it. Because you're not doing that for the person that passed. You're doing that to make yourself feel better.
True.
Yep. And that time's already gone.
True.
Right.
You know, I don't mean to be I don't mean to sound negative or be a downer, but reach out to people. It doesn't take anything to drop a dime and call somebody. Send somebody a text,
that's
Facebook message, whatever.
Right.
You know, I just think it's very selfish.
Right.
I just think it's extremely selfish when people start giving these Facebook eulogies. And you know the only reason they're doing it is so that they can clear their own conscience.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right.
That's it.
Yeah, other than that, I'm going to tell you guys something, though. Everybody talk, and God bless AEW, God bless NWA, Ring of Honor, everybody else that's providing alternatives in today's wrestling market. But if anybody wants to really see up-and-coming women's wrestling, you got to go to Shimmer. Shimmer is out twice a year, once in October, once in April.
Yeah.
Well, make the trip to Chicago and go see Shimmer. 2 days, I think it costs you, for both days, it's less than $100, ticket-wise.
Wow.
And that's to sit, you're in a 300-seat arena. It's like you're sitting in somebody's living room watching wrestling.
Wow, and
then I've seen all the girls come through Shimmer. I mean, three-quarters of the WWE's roster were Shimmer girls.
Well, right.
At one time I either managed or managed against 6-7 women that were on the Shimmer roster at any one time.
Wow.
You know, and that's where you're going to see, you know, that's where you're going to see them before they get to where they have to go. The Iconics were a young blonde tag team when I first saw them.
Did you ever work with Kathy Carino?
Yeah, I know Kathy very well.
Yep,
I managed her brother Steve in the Indies. Yep. When Steve was working Powell Entertainment in Chicago, I worked with Steve.
And I know Dave Prazak very well, too.
Yep. In fact, I'm one of the three members of the committee that runs the Midwest Wrestling Reunion. And at our first reunion 2 years ago, going on 3 years ago, we gave Dave Prazak the Promoters Award. Because
awesome.
What he's done with Shimmer, I mean, granted, Vince is showcasing women's wrestling. That's awesome. But what Vince will never admit to is that Sarah Del Rey, who was his main trainer, pretty much poached 3/4 of the Shimmer roster.
Yep.
I mean, you name them, they were there with very few exceptions. Charlotte Flair, Sasha Banks, they weren't. Nia Jax wasn't, but a lot of them were. And that's what they brought, that level of professionalism that was missing. You know, and don't get me wrong, no disrespect to the women post-Attitude Era. They weren't given much to work with. But, I mean, you know, a minute and a half tug-and-giggle match isn't going to do anything for women's wrestling. It's just not.
Speaking
you
want to
talk about monsters? Beasts and monsters?
Hold that thought, okay?
Sure.
Hold that thought, Chad.
Sure.
Speaking of beasts, one of the beasts of the industry recently retired, and Awesome Kong. Did you guys hear about that?
Yes.
I was just going to say.
That was my thought. You took it. It was awesome. So it was great lead-in.
Oh, wow.
That was the thought that I had had. You know, I was fortunate enough to work with Kong up in Wisconsin, and we called a nice little spot. We called a swerve in our match. We didn't tell the person that I was managing that we were swerving, which was kind of funny. We made each other laugh. And at the end, I got turned on, and I took the big splash. But, no, Kong was definitely an icon in our business in terms of being a beast and a monster. You know, as was Monster Ripper, as was Bertha Faye. She went from being a gigantic force in Puerto Rico to being a comic act in the WWF, but she still put people over. She could still work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Papa Stro, I met Austin Kong. I made her laugh. I couldn't believe I did something crazy.
Did you?
That she didn't expect. I was doing my impression of
Hogan.
Knowing
you, Malcolm, I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
No, you had it anyway.
But I accidentally spit on Road Doc Jesse James, and Road Doc goes, Malcolm Mayden just spit on me. I'm going to have to take out Malcolm Mayden. Austin Kong just started laughing.
Oh, my goodness. That guy's horrible. Oh, my goodness.
And Hardcore Holly was next to us, too.
Awesome Kong put a dent in my car one day.
Did she?
And I wish it was one part of her body.
Uh-huh.
But the next time I saw her, she was with Impact in Philly. And Charmel and I were going to go shopping at the hotel. I'm at the hotel. And she comes walking out. She goes, you still got that dent in your car? I went, yeah. So she walked over and Charmel goes, what, Kong, what happened? She went, I kind of got thrown into her car. And she went, why do I think that's not your head? And I said, I just went, it's not.
That's awesome.
Wow.
So when I sold my car, I was like, yep, I got a dent in it from Kong's boob.
Nice.
Oh, man. Oh, my goodness.
No, Papa Stro, getting back to Daphne, I remember Roddy Piper, we were at Wrestle Reunion 2011. Piper was taking this, he was in a good suit, and I was dressed up in my goofy gear. And Piper comes up to me and I was telling him I was apprehensive about meeting some wrestler that I thought he was real evil in real life. And Piper says, Malcolm, you know, he said, he said, there are wrestlers that have had personalities that would scare you, but in real life, they're really down-to-earth people. He said, I'll give you examples. Vampiro, Daphne. He even mentioned Daphne. Daphne's a real nice young lady in real life. He said, Vampiro's a nice young man. You know, I told him Steve Austin. Steve kind of intimidated me. You know, and he said, you know, you can't judge a book by its cover. You know, you got to delve inside of their personalities.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Does anybody have any good Hanson Brody stories? You got to put them up there with the giants, monsters, and beasts.
I got a Hanson story that's not with Brody, though.
Nice.
Hey, go ahead.
September 28th, 1985, I was 17 years – actually, I just turned 18. And we were at Super Clash 1 at Comiskey Park. And Stan Hanson tried to steal my chair. And I wouldn't let him do it. So he stole the guy's next to me's chair. And then proceeded to wrap that chair around Rick Martel's head. Saw Stan at CAC many years later, told him what happened. He goes, was that you? He said, you know, you cost me 3 minutes in that match. I had to go find another chair. I said, sorry, Stan. You weren't getting it that night. But I was never privileged enough to see Frank in action, though. But Stan and Martel, man, they beat the hell out of each other all over Comiskey Park. It was fun to watch.
Oh, I bet that was awesome.
I had a fan interaction with Stan and got his book signed. I wish I asked more All Japan questions because I would have loved to have heard his thoughts in person about the four pillars. But there's so many dream matches. I wish if there was a prime Stan Hansen now, there's so many guys I would have loved to have seen him with, especially someone like a Walter. But looking back at that 90s All Japan era, it's a pretty great era of wrestling. That period.
Those Hansen matches with Terry Bam Bam Gordy were pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I saw a picture recently of Terry Gordy kicking Stan Hansen. I'm sure they went at it pretty hard.
Oh, wow.
You know, that was the fun part about Japan back in the 80s, is that you can have Hansen and Gordy match up in Tokyo and knock the hell out of each other, and then the next night in Yokohama they're teaming. That was just the beauty of all Japan.
Right.
Was just the intrigue. That's what made me a Japanese wrestling fan, was just the intriguing matchups, because you didn't see those matchups in the States. They were very still promotional and territorially centered, and so you just didn't see those type of matches. You didn't see a Ric Flair and a Rick Martel fight in a unified match one night, and the next night they're teaming.
I got a giant pick, a giant Baba from All Japan, the promoter, Gangrel.
Nice.
I used to watch Gangrel's streams on Facebook, and he told me that Baba was his favorite promoter, and when he worked All Japan, Gangrel liked working with Terry Gordy as one of his opponents, him and Misawa. But I've heard Baba was a pretty good promoter, and obviously he had a lot of gaijins at one point when he was working promote over there.
Hey, Papa Stro, I met Stan Hansen at StarCast at Memorial Day 2019 in Las Vegas, Caesar's Palace. And right next to me was Medusa Michelli. And I went up with a big Raider flag, and I took a picture where I held the flag up. And you can just see a tip of Stan Hansen's cowboy hat. And he was laughing. And I told Stan, I said, I know you're a great wrestler, but you also did some really humorous moments in wrestling, too. People didn't know you were a really good comedian. He goes, how so? And I said, remember those interviews in 1990? You had the challenge for Lex Luger for the United States title? at Halloween Havoc, and I think the other one was, what, Starrcade? He got the rematch. Okay, and he did the interviews, and Tony Schiavone had the interview, and then Jim Ross told Tony to interview Stan Hansen, and he's chewing that charm, he's spitting it. Tony's got this look in his face like he just ate a sour lemon, you know? And they go back to Jim Ross and Bob Caudle, and Jim goes, we're going to have to get Tony a raincoat if he has to do many more interviews with Stan Hansen.
Hey, Malcolm, let me ask you a question.
I mean, well...
Malcolm, yeah. Let me ask you a question real quick. You said it was Stan Hansen and Medusa when you went up there, right?
Right. She was right next to me.
So you went up there with a big Raider flag, and you went home with a big never mind. It's next company.
No, I told her I felt bad. I did not know she was a Minnesota Vikings fan. And that's
forget it,
I
Malcolm.
If
I got to explain the joke,
that.
It's not funny.
I remember the story Steamboat told me years ago about him and Jay Youngblood in Japan getting ready to wrestle Stan Hansen and Bruiser Brody, right? And they're thinking, well, they will try to, go at it a certain pace to blow the big guys up, right? Well, the match started, and before you know it, Ricky said, they were going toe-to-toe with us, and they were actually blowing us up in the ring. We could believe it, how well they were moving to the two big guys. And you had, Brody drop-kicking, you had Hansen all over the place, slamming.
Yeah.
They were in shape, man.
I mean, sure, you were in WCW back when this gentleman was. I mean, the mystique that was in Japan and all over with Vader, I mean, even just as far as the entrance was concerned with the helmet, I mean, Vader had to be up there with one of the top draws as far as being a beast or a monster or somebody of that mysterious vein, don't you think?
Yeah. Oh, God, yes. Vader. Matter of fact, I was the UWFI training I did with Dan. Vader actually was with that particular company as well. I saw a match of his with their champion at that time, Takata. And it was just amazing to see him work that different style, the MMA style. And then, years later, I was doing the Gorgeous George, the third thing, up in Indiana. And this was when Vader had his feud with Hogan for the title. And this, I don't know if you remember this, when Vader was going around these different promotions, beating people up, getting that momentum up for his title match with Hogan for the title, WCW title. Well, he ran in during my match, right, and obliterated my opponent and came to me, right, and he hasn't seen, he didn't see me since the training days, right, and I should have took advice from Sting and Shawn Michaels about covering up, because, he gave me one of those, ham hock forearms to the corner, right, and I'm thinking, I'm old school, I'm not going to wuss out and put my hands up, I'll take it. I took one shot, and I saw Tweety Birds, Rings of Saturn, you name it.
Oh, yeah.
It was coming for, the other arm was coming for me, right? And I knew if I didn't do it, something, he would break my jaw. So I ducked it, kicked him right between the legs, did a double leg takedown, and I was cross-facing. I was calling the shoot name. I was like, damn it, Leon, what the hell? Do I owe you money? Jesus. And he looked up at me and recognized who I was, right? He laughed and said, hey, dude. I mean, just get me out of here before you kill me, right? So we get out of the ring, right? We get in the back, and the agent comes up, like, what's this? What's going on? And Amber Vader pushing him back and says, don't F with him. That's my boy from Japan, right? And the agent just looked at us and like, oh, and just walked away. Vader. But, man, Vader's no joke, man. Toughest to come, dude. And nice guy. Really a sweetheart. Mm-hmm. Big teddy bear, but, man. The man,
yeah.
When he gets going.
He's another one, Papa Stro. He was big when I met him the first time. I was real nervous, but I walked up to him. I met him, respect. And he was just, he actually told me, Malcolm is, as crazy as you are, you ought to go into acting. I think you could be a good actor. He was the one to put the bug in my ear years ago.
Ah. Yeah, Vader was in a movie I saw one time. He was the villain in one movie called Fist of the North Star, I think. If you guys remember that film. It was a sci-fi type movie.
I think
so. Is that a possible Strozone movie?
I think it was an anime at one point.
Yeah. And I'm going to try to get on the Strozone. Seriously, I would love to get on the Strozone.
Cool.
Fist of the North Star, because I paused and I saw Vader as the villain. It gave me those vibes of that video he did with Sting that one time when Sting took the helicopter to the mountain to see Vader.
Yeah.
It had those vibes, you know what I mean? That was really cool.
Yeah.
So look it up. Vader was Fist of the North Star. Look it up sometime. It's a really cool flick.
You know, and just going along with the theme of our show, there's a guy that capitalized on the gimmick. You know, he capitalized on being the monster, being the beast. You know, Leon White, Bull Power, all right. Big Van Vader, now you got something.
Yeah. Speaking of monsters, what about Abdul the Butcher? Good Lord.
Yeah, Abdullah.
Oh, Abdullah, man.
Yeah.
Dude, if there was no Abdullah, there would be no hardcore, period.
Yeah.
No disrespect to Terry or Mick Foley or Onita or anybody else that has done hardcore since, but Abdullah the Butcher was doing hardcore in 1969 when it was unheard of.
That gum, Abdullah.
When I met Abdullah the Butcher, the only time I met him, I told him my favorite moment of his career was when at Battle Bowl 91 and Mick Foley, Cactus Jack, was already announced, and they announced that Sergeant Buddy Lee Parker was going to be his partner, and he beat him with that kendo stick, and I was laughing. I still was laughing. Bruno Sammartino was next to us. I mean, it was great. Or not Bruno
Sammartino. He said classic matches through the years Abdullah has. Many classics.
Not Bruno.
So I don't know if you heard this story that superstar Billy Graham tells all the time about Abdullah, but they were up in Canada, and there was some kid, this was in the late 60s, early 70s, there was some kid up there who was Native American, did the Indian gimmick, and he was in the opening match, and unbeknownst to the promoter, unbeknownst to anybody, Abdullah just took off in the middle of his match, hit the ring, threw the opponent out and beat this kid to an inch of his life. Used the fork on him, used everything, busted him wide open. In fact, he hit an artery. So they had to call the ambulance to get this kid over to the hospital before he bled out. And Abdullah just goes back to the locker room and he sits down in the heels locker room. And superstar Billy Graham looks at him and says, "Abby, what are you doing?" And he just looked at him real nonchalant, real calm. He says, "Coleman, I had to get my heat."
I got some comments on Vader and Abdullah. Earlier, sure. I wanted to mention that Vader and Anoki caused a riot in Sumo Hall when Vader debuted and beat Anoki pretty quickly. And they were the Sumo Hall was banned for New Japan was banned from Sumo Hall for a couple of years after that. But and then I met Vader briefly at a show, so that was pretty cool, and got a photo with him. And then Abdullah, I saw him at WrestleCade 2015, and he wasn't talking, but it was a pretty big honor just to interact with him. And he, when he took photos of him, he forked you, and he was poking me with the fork, and I couldn't sell it. I was just smiling through the photo. He was like fanboying out because I was getting poked by Abdullah with the fork. It was pretty cool.
Story about Abdullah. Yeah, that's really cool. I was going to mention a funny story about Abdullah one time. He actually saved my life one time on the show. People were throwing stuff at me in the ring, and we're brawling, and he's like covering me, shielding me as he's brawling with me from all the debris they're throwing at me, right? And I'm underneath him going, thank you, right? And that's how we got the presents. One show I was on, he was on, right? I had to show a match with this guy, right? And Abdullah comes up to me and said, you know, I should get some serious heat on the guy. You know, it'd be good for, because I think we're supposed to have a rematch tonight, some night later on, right? So, I get in there and get my heat. And the promoter and everything like, what was that? Yada, yada. I said, hey, I had to get to my heat, man. They said, who told you to do that? And I pointed to Abdullah. I said, he did. And he's like, oh, okay. Good match.
So I guess superstar Billy Graham was right. I had to get my heat, Coleman.
I'm glad you brought that up, Chaz, because that similar experience happened to me.
Oh, that's funny. That's good stuff.
You know, Abdullah used to freak people out. I think Foley talked about it, how Abdullah would put poker chips in his forehead ridges because they were so deep. His debits, he could put poker chips in them.
Yep.
That's wild, man.
Yeah, Abdullah had to block those funny water balloons that he used to throw at him in Puerto Rico. It was a mean scene down in them baseball stadiums. You know, he probably could pick up an extra 40, 50 bucks in coins because they were throwing Puerto Rican silver dollars at him and not trying to make him feel good. They were trying to hit him in the head with them. Batteries.
What?
Like I said, those funny water balloons they used to throw at people, too.
At a match, Abdullah. It wasn't great or scientific, but it was pretty cool that he got a match at Abdullah in Puerto Rico and was able to, survive after the fact.
Puerto Rican fans are, Puerto Rican wrestling fans, Puerto Rican baseball fans, Puerto Rican soccer fans, they're all the same. They're all nuts. I mean, they thought nothing of throwing stuff at him. I mean, I was watching a World Cup qualifier, the last World Cup, and true to form, they're throwing batteries at the linesman because they got the offside call wrong.
The emergency lane over there is actually a third lane. Seriously, that's how crazy they're driving. The emergency lane is a third lane.
Was that like, Chaz, was that like the dog pound in the 80s and those Cleveland Browns fans throw dog?
No, bro, NFL fans are tame compared to soccer fans. What are you, nuts? Soccer fans, when they say soccer is a religion and it carries over to professional wrestling, they're not joking. Some guys used to go in there with pockets armed, and then they had the water balloons. Only problem was they didn't have a hose. You do the math.
Yeah, some places win, lose, or draw. There are animals roaming the streets after a game. Go figure.
And then you got to realize you go to Bayamon or you go to San Juan, and there's what 40,000 people in the baseball stadium. Another 25,000 couldn't get in. That was heavy duty back then. I mean, that's when draws were draws. They weren't going, you get promotions now, and God bless them. I know it's a different time. Oh, man, we just drew 800 people. That's awesome. They were drawing 12,000 in the Mid-South Coliseum every Monday night.
Yeah.
It was a different time.
It sure was.
Hey, Papa Stro.
So, go ahead, Malcolm, real quick.
It's a Halloween Havoc 91, and he's fighting Sting, and they put Sting in that electric chair, and Sting turned it around, and he ended up there, and I think it was Cactus Jack threw the switch, fried him.
To Abdullah, that was a tickle.
Just be thankful they didn't put a light bulb in his mouth.
Like Uncle Fester.
Yeah, you had Uncle Abby and Uncle Fester. They'd have been the uncles. New tag team.
You guys remember Mad Dog Vachon?
Vachon?
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah,
I do. I got to meet the guy. I got to meet the guy at a Memphis Legends convention there in Louisville, that Night of Legends. And this is like, I've seen him in action years ago to that point, but I actually be on a show with him, right? And the guy was still a beast. I mean, God dang. And I watched videos of him doing the tug of war challenges and the bit where he threw Lawler literally over the top, press slammed him over the top, and Lawler was trying to make the table, but he overshot it and like legitimately hurt his leg. And it was like he threw Lawler at such velocity, man. It was like scary.
Yeah. tell you about Mad Dog is back in 83 when Gagne brought before Hogan made the jump after Rocky III over to the WWE, they had an AWA card, and they had a local ring announcer, because that's what Gagne did, is he didn't bring in a ring announcer. He brought in a local ring announcer. And he brought in Gene Okerlund because Gene was more over than half the roster. And Mad Dog gets in a ring, and he attacks the ring announcer.
Yeah,
right? But Mad Dog attacks the ring announcer. And, I mean, he lays him out. The guy's out cold.
Oh,
hasn't even announced the match yet, and the guy's out cold. Mad Dog just went in there and destroyed him. And so Gene Okerlund rushes into the ring and grabs the microphone and does an impromptu interview. And he says, he's like, Mad Dog, why did you do that? Why did you attack the ring announcer? And Mad Dog in that half French, half Algerian accent says, I didn't like him. He had a stupid looking suit on. That was his
you
know,
like the that's a lot like
he was probably like the announcer in Rocky three. Said, see you next year. Thank God.
Thank God.
Bobby Joe, that's what he said about Mad Dog Bashan and, you know, beating up the ring announcer. That's like when that ring announcer grabbed Terry Funk's cowboy hat and he had a preliminary match and Terry just beat the snot out of
him.
Yeah, the difference is that this poor guy didn't do nothing wrong. All he did was grab the microphone, attempt to announce the combatants, and got served his rear end. It was like, whatever.
I mean,
that was Mad Dog, though.
He's the guy that kind of, he would look at you and you faint.
Yeah. But, you know,
that's me, rugged look.
Little known fact about Mad Dog is that when he was younger and, you know, he just got out of the Olympics, him and his brother were both, I mean, very well-dressed, very good-looking guys. I mean, you know, the Vachons, I hate to say it, the good looks in the Vachons didn't last with Vivian and with Luna. I mean, Mad Dog and Butcher, before they actually got into their gimmicks and lost teeth, they weren't bad-looking guys. You know, they carried themselves in suits. And it was, again, the 40s and the 50s were a different era from the 60s and the 70s and moving forward.
Forgive
I mean,
me,
back then,
I got to correct myself. When I was talking about Lawler, it was Joe LeDuc who's our frozen friend.
Oh, okay. He was nuts,
Joe
too.
LeDuc. Oh, yeah. He's the one that took the axe to his head. Remember that in the promo?
Yeah.
He split his wrist in one of those promos, and that was pretty shocking to see, especially someone in that time period to be cutting during a promo. It's crazy.
Right.
The shocking part is he actually finished the promo.
And I'm glad we mentioned. Yeah, I'm glad we mentioned the Fashanso, but they're a beast in their own right. But yeah, Joe LeDuc was actually the guy I was talking about, because that guy was, man, he was in a whole new level of scary.
Yes. Yes, and going along with that, you know, you're talking about guys that are very nice away from the ring, but just terrifying in the ring. I'll give you a couple of modern examples. Sin Bodhi and Funny Bone. Funny Bone's entrance to this day freaks me out. You know, but tonight they're real nice guys in the locker room, real nice guys away from the ring. But, you know, when Funny Bone came out to House of 1,000 Corpses, it creeped me out.
Not bad. Hey, by the way, we're teaming with them. They're in Vegas, man. I had a blast teaming with those guys. Those guys are awesome.
Yep, that was the match, brother. That was the match. In fact,
that was really cool.
That was one night removed from me being forced to dance with a doll from the top rope. I don't even have to get into that story. I'm over there doing my thing. Next thing I know, I look out of the corner of my right eye, and I got a doll in a blue dress flying at me.
Gave a whole new, gave a whole meaning to the devil with the blue dress on, right?
Stiffest bump I ever had to take.
Mitch Ryder in the Detroit wheel.
Dorothy was stiff as hell.
She is, man. I don't even mess with Dorothy, man. She's brutal.
I mean, I don't know what she got so mad about. I just asked her for, you know, I asked her to dance, and she took me literally.
If you ever want to take her candy away from her, look out. She loves her candy.
Now, wait a minute. I'm arrogant and I'm boastful, but I'm not stupid.
That's why whenever I have some candy, I know, you know, I better give it to her before she gets mad.
Oh, yeah. Oh, most definitely. But, I mean, you know, it's just
that's,
like I said.
That's my Halloween.
You know, nicest guys you ever wanted to meet outside the ring.
Yes.
In fact, I've still got a picture of my wife posing with Sin Bodhi, and he decided to pull the rib on her while they were posing for the picture, and he stuck his finger in her ear, and she grabbed this, and she wound up grabbing his beard. And he looked at me, and he goes, "Bro, she grabbed my beard." I said, "Serves you right." I said, "You started it.
Oh, that's great.
Serves you right."
Oh my goodness, that's awesome.
Yeah, that was back when those events and those reunions were a good time. You know, I was again back to Lutez and going back to Nick Bockwinkel. I mean, those were men that held. They led that organization with selflessness. You know, they ran that organization to run it for the good of all, not the good of themselves. But that's a story for a different day.
Right.
Nick,
we'll have to do a show about that, Steve, you got any monsters you want to throw at us? These thought were cool.
What about?
Or John?
Hey, what about Missing Link and Kamala as monsters?
Yeah, Missing Link, right, Steve.
Great pick, man. Anybody got a cool Missing Link and Kamala story?
Yeah.
I met Kamala. Good, I didn't meet the Missing Link.
I think it was Bruce Owens, this referee that I met at these conventions. He has a really funny Missing Link story. I can't do it justice, but basically Missing Link had some like fake teeth, like dental teeth that got lost.
Yeah.
On the coach. And Bruce Owens like had to either pay him back or owe him money, and he had to go look for him, and it was just such a funny story. Like, if you ever get the chance to contact Bruce Owens, like, he's got such a funny Missing Link story. And plus, one of my coworkers, who's a bit older, he like found out that I like wrestling, and he mentioned Missing Link to me. So he must have been a big deal in his day, because just to have coworkers mention him to me. But and then
nice.
Kamala was Jerry Lawler's creation, so pretty cool that Jerry had a hand in that. And then Kamala was pretty funny in his later years. And he even singed. He like did like a diss track of
he was good too. He was really had a good voice on him.
Yeah, hey guys, I'll tell you a very very short story from my fan days as a teenager with Kamala. We were at the Rosemont Horizon, and Kamala was wrestling Hogan during their series, and Hogan got a little overexcited. And when he threw Kamala out of the ring, and he kind of threw him out of the ring, and Kamala lands on his rear end toward the guardrail right in front of where we were sitting. And I don't know who they had working as Kimchi that night, or Friday, as he was called in WWF, but Kamala was upset. He says, "Go in there and tell that fool that I said to take it easy." And me and my buddies looked at each other and like, "Holy crap, Kamala can speak English."
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Jim was pissed. Wait, he says, "Go," and he didn't say fool. He said something else. I was keeping it kind of PC. He says, "Go in there and tell that fool I said to take it easy."
I remember one time in Canada, I was at a show with Missing Link, right? And I was getting some heat with the crowd. I had this mannequin head with me, right? And I kept telling the mannequin head, saying that the mannequin represented the Canadians, right? How dumb they were, right? And then and it turns out I named the mannequin head Dewey after Missing Link.
Oh my God!
He thought it was great.
I'm sure he did.
Yeah, it was good heat, you know.
They said that Heenan told a story one time before he got sick that the Missing Link was mistaken and actually thought Heenan was his actual manager. And he says, yeah, give me a wake-up call for tomorrow morning at 8:30 and make sure the car is ready. And Bobby looks at him and says, wait a second, idiot. I manage you in the arena, not outside the arena. Take care of your own wake-up calls.
Oh, man.
And Missing Link looked at him and goes, but I thought you were my manager. He goes, my last name's not Ellering.
Ellering,
Papa Stroh.
He says, do you want an outside manager? Call Paul.
Summer, summer
right?
1987, Superstars Wrestling, and Sika and Kamala had teamed up. I think the Wizard had put them together or some other manager. And Kamala, I think they're taking on the Can-Am Connection, Rick Martel and Tom Zink, in like
oh,
a
wow.
main event match. And it's on – no, it wasn't on Superstars. It was on Wrestling Challenge. And Gorilla Monsoon and Bobby Heenan are doing the commentary. And Kamala's going to the top of the rope, on top of the third turnbuckle. And Bobby Heenan goes, oh, here we go, Aaron Kamala. And Gorilla goes, you'll be a pancake if he lands on him.
Oh, my goodness.
But, you know, Stroh, you brought up a good point. Malcolm brings up a good point with the Wizard. I mean, King Curtis Iaukea, talk about a monster or a beast in his own right. I mean, the
yes.
guy was proficient in sumo. He was a hell of a main event wrestler back in the 60s and 70s and then progressed into the 80s into a management role. I mean, you know, King Curtis was up there with the top beasts.
One of the best promos in the business.
Oh, most definitely.
Stroh, another one. I met Kamala at Big Time Wrestling years ago, first time. And I walked up to him, and I said, I didn't know you could talk. And he goes, of course I could talk. And I said, well, I saw you in this Piper's Pit. And it was the fall of 1986, and you were the guest. The Wizard and Kimchi was keeping you in. And Piper goes, you know, you manage him. He goes, he eats a lot of moon pies. He had a moon pie in his belly, and he's kind of overweight, the belly. And he says, just do me a favor. Do everybody a favor. Don't let him breathe with anybody. Like, come on, he's laughing.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, on the topic of giants, monsters, and beasts, what about the Great Kabuki, man?
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, that guy, he used to terrify people.
World-class championship wrestling, the Great Kabuki. Didn't Gary Hart manage him?
Yes.
Yeah.
Steve, you want to say, follow up on that?
Yeah, he had a longevity, long career. I was watching one of his Pro Wrestling NOAH matches, and he's pretty elderly at that point. He was still working. He was still swinging the nunchucks before working that match, and it was a tag team match, and it was pretty cool. I think he might have worked at New Japan Battle Royal, and I think he worked in Pro Wrestling NOAH in a tag team match, one of his later matches I saw, and it was pretty cool that he was able to still go at his age.
Amazing. Man, he had such a mystique about him. It was uncanny. And people to this day still talk about Kabuki. It's pretty wild.
Oh, yeah. Steve Corino was mentioning that in commentary, how scared he was of Kabuki in his youth.
Yeah. Another guy, he didn't have to say a word, but it's this look, he just had that terrifying look about him, you know?
Yeah. Oh, there was
he's sort of similar to the Great Muta.
I think there was an All Japan match with Kabuki and Tiger Mask 2, I believe, that was pretty interesting. And I think it ended with like a no contest or a counter or a DQ, but it was pretty cool getting to see Kabuki work with, I think it was Masao and Tiger Mask in All Japan.
Mm-hmm.
So, obviously,
Steve?
Yep.
Steve, did the Great Kabuki spit out green mist like Muta did? It's been a long time.
Yeah, he was the originator of it.
Okay, yeah. Just been a long time. I used to watch ESPN.
Wasn't there a six-man a while back with Kabuki, Muta,
yeah.
and Tajiri?
I think so. There's pictures of them doing this together. I think of Kabuki Muda doing it, and I believe Tajiri as well.
That's awesome. That is awesome.
Good I really stuff. Like...
Papa Stro, did Hogan ever wrestle the great Kabuki?
I'm not sure. I'd love to have seen it. If it did, they did. If it did happen.
Well, I'm not doing a dream match or anything. I'm just trying to reflect.
No, I'm not sure, but he definitely faced Muda. Hogan did New Japan, but
yeah.
I forgot what I was gonna say. But oh yeah, I really like when Gaijins use the poison mist. Jessica Havoc. No, not Jessica Havoc. Mischief did it. I saw her do it in Ring of Honor, and then Chris Jericho just did it recently in that Nick Gage match. But that was cool.
Right.
Finish using the mist.
Hey, Steve, I got to say this. I love your insight of the Japanese wrestling. I mean, nobody talks it the way you do. I got to get that in.
I try my best, but there's so many people. There's so many people on the internet that I can learn from, and there's a lot of experts out there, but it's always nice to talk about it here on VOC Nation and Retro.
You know, we got to mention guys like Undertaker and Kane, man. I mean, those guys are,
thanks,
you know, as far as like modern day monsters and phenoms, and you know what I mean?
Thank you. I had them in my head. Yeah, Kane and Undertaker are definitely monsters and giants as well. I think those two are what really got me into wrestling, especially in the early 2000s. And Kane, he got a lot of people got turned off by Kane unmasking, but I thought him unmasking helped. He was still a monster at that point. The way he was like burning Jim Ross, and he was terrorizing Eric Bischoff, and he was still causing mayhem even without the mask. And he took inspiration from Red Dragon, that book, which I thought was pretty cool that I learned about in his autobiography. But Undertaker and Kane are two of my all-time favorites for sure, and the legendary feud, and they've tag teamed together a bunch. So,
they were on top for quite a while, for many years.
Best debut ever, I would say, Kane's when he attacked Undertaker at the Hell in a Cell match of Bad Blood with Shawn Michaels.
Yeah. That was pretty terrifying.
Michael Myers, terrifying.
Yes.
Yeah, Papa Stro, I only met Mark Calloway, The Undertaker, one time. We're at Frank and Sons. I drove down from Las Vegas, and it was November 17th, 2018. It was on a Saturday. And I had a Hulk Hogan jacket with me and a life-size stand-up of The Undertaker, you know, because he had a baseball cap on, a T-shirt, and jeans. You know, everybody expected him to come in wearing his Undertaker stuff. And they were all disappointed,
right.
You know. And when I got up to the table to meet him, I was like one of the last ones in line. And I think I waited 3 hours there in line for him. And he commented to me. He said, "I've been watching you all day in line." He goes, "You've been bubbly, up, you know, everybody else has been moody. You know, you've been trying to entertain people, talk with them." He says, "It's really a pleasure to meet a fan like you." And I went up to him and I said, "Well, some fans told me, I just want to ask you yes or no. Could you sign my Hulk Hogan jacket? Because you and the Hulkster at Survivor 91 and Tuesday in Texas were two of the best matches I ever saw in my life." And he said, "Give me the jacket." He signed it for me. And I said, "Well, all these fans said you wouldn't sign anything with Hulk Hogan." He says, "Hey, Malcolm," he said, "you listen to yourself. You don't listen to these fans. You want something signed, you know, just ask somebody. If they don't want to sign it, you know, at least you took a chance to get it." He said, "Don't listen to these other wrestling fans." He said, you know, he said, you're a good person, I could tell, and you're a good fan. And, you know, he was just, I did the Hulk Hogan voice for him, and he laughed like crazy. And all these wrestling fans at Brankett Sons, you know, they're saying, hey, Malcolm, you made The Undertaker laugh. He doesn't even smile when he comes to the ring, you know? And that felt so good, Papa Stro, that I just made somebody feel that good.
You guys remember King Mabel, Viscera? He was pretty intimidating.
Yeah.
He was in the ministry at one point.
He was. Sure was. I used to team with him, actually, back when he was King Mabel. And then later he became Viscera, and he was even more terrifying. He had the suspenders, you know what I mean?
And he became a Big Daddy.
When he was part of Men on a Mission? Wow.
That's when he was known as Mabel. Then he became King Mabel when he won the King in the Ring tournament.
I never got to meet Viscera or Undertaker, but getting the chance to meet Kane at the convention was pretty cool, and asking him about working with or without the mask, and telling him which version of him I like, that 03 unmasked version. But, Viscera. Monster
for sure. Then there's Bam Bam Bigelow, who, for a guy his size, was just amazing to watch.
Beast from the East.
Yes.
Papa Stro. Remember Survivor Series 87? And he was the last man in because Bundy and the One Man Gang got Hogan disqualified on purpose outside the ring. And Bam Bam almost won it single-handedly. He just couldn't. Andre was too much for him. But, man, he was in there against three against one. And I thought he was going to win the match that day. I really did.
Oh, Bam Bam has some great matches over the years. Go ahead.
I love Bam Bam. I love Bam Bam's work in ECW with Taz. I think that was some of ECW's best work right there. When they would go through the ring, when they'd go through the stage ramp, the walkway.
Yes.
That was just awesome chaos, like just seeing this small Taz and Bam Bam just start going through stuff. It was just cool.
Oh, their match is awesome. Amazing, man.
Yeah,
another good match by Bam Bam.
Papa Stro, another good match by Bam Bam was Starrcade 88. It was the third to last match, him and Barry Windham for the United States title. Man, Barry,
yeah, they had a great match.
Barry put the claw on him. He says, he's mine, he yells, you know. And Bam Bam just, you know, somehow overtook it, you know. He went through all kinds of obstacles. He almost won the match, almost won the United States title. But yeah, I was pulling for him, I told
him. Yeah, Bam Bam's great, man. And speaking of modern-day beasts, we can't leave out Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
That guy,
the next big
he's
thing.
Still a beast.
I was not happy when he beat Taker at WrestleMania. I thought Taker should have retained that streak, but it's interesting their history together, Undertaker and Brock. Brock was one of Undertaker's toughest rivals when he was Biker Taker and was able to defeat the streak at WrestleMania. Dominate John Cena. He's John Cena says that Brock Lesnar is one of the best ever. I think Walter even said something similar, that Brock is one of the best ever. So hard to argue against it, just based on the accomplishments alone, just beating Undertaker at WrestleMania and dominating John Cena, and, you know, having just his early work too. When he was 02 to 04, just all the names he went through, dominating Hulk Hogan, going through Undertaker. I think that No Mercy Hell in a Cell match with Taker is underrated and doesn't get talked about enough.
Oh, yeah.
I used to watch that back on VHS because it was just so good. and it was so violent and dramatic with Heyman at cage side. So, I think Brock has had a Hall of Fame career for sure, and it'll be interesting to see what he does with Roman next, and hopefully Bobby Lashley.
The first F5 I saw him do was on Rikishi, and my jaw just dropped. I mean, to pick up a guy that size of Rikishi and give him an F5, I just flipped out like, wow.
He had a controversial run with New Japan, so it's probably short-lived. More favorite comments about him. It's just interesting that Brock was able to work there at one point. And, WWE was trying to block him from wrestling over there. And he even called the F5 the verdict as like a shot at them. So Brock he'll go where he wants to go. And obviously he had some success in UFC, becoming heavyweight champion over there, beating Randy Couture. And last fight he had, I think he tested positive or something. He was able to beat Mark Hunt. So obviously he's had an interesting career in UFC and controversial one in New Japan, but definitely a Hall of Fame career in WWE and UFC for sure.
Absolutely. Amazing. And he's not done yet. He's just made his return to WWE. So.
Right. I thought he was going to MMA or doing some other organization, because the rumors were that he was going to go somewhere else. But, you know, Vince, he definitely takes value in Brock and doesn't want him to go anywhere. So,
right.
Back 8 more matches.
Well, this has been fun, guys. It's such a blast tonight talking about giants, monsters, and beasts. You guys, anything you'd like to plug? So plug away.
You can reach me at Slower Steven online, and definitely looking forward to pro wrestling interviews on Sundays, 9 to 10, and when that gets broadcast on the radio after the fact. But, it's always a pleasure to talk to you on Retro. I enjoyed my call on Tuesday. I don't usually get the call in on Tuesday because I'm working on that in the room. But Jim Holliday was a pleasant surprise, and glad we can get Kathy on tonight. And thanks for having me on.
Oh, absolutely. And hope Jim could join us next week too, next Tuesday. It was a pleasure having him. Sure. Malcolm, you got anything you'd like to plug?
Yeah, Papa Stro. Chaz was talking earlier about, you know, it's too late to say things about wrestlers. Well, you know, whoever's listening, every wrestler I've met, I've shown respect for. Even the ones that got uptight with me, Dr. D. David Schultz at one time, Billy Gunn got uptight with me at one time, but... You know, I never argue with the wrestler because they're doing something that, you know, I wasn't allowed a career to do in this world. And you got to show people that kind of respect that you look up to. And another thing I want to say is, you know, everybody has their champion. Everybody has their generation. Mine is always going to be Roddy Piper and Hulk Hogan. Back in 85, you know, no matter what happens in the future, to me, that was it. When Hogan was, you know, riding a Harley, when Hogan was, he had Eye of the Tiger, then he held the title for 4 years. It took McMahon had to use two, Earl and Dave Hebner, twin referees with Ted DiBiase, to strip Hogan of the title. Because back then, Papa Stro, nobody would have taken that title off of Hulk Hogan. They'd have to pry it out of his dead hands. That's how dedicated he was and how much of a role model he was to us in the 80s. And I was in my early 20s. And then one more thing. I've got an event coming up. I missed the one August 6th because I don't have a picture ID yet. I can't get on a plane. But if I can get on there on October 8th, I'll be at Big Time Wrestling, and I'm not going there to meet the wrestlers that are there. I'm going there to meet friends of mine, wrestling fans in the Bay Area, Northern California, at the Newark Pavilion, you know, in Newark, California. And I want to say hello to everybody. And Davina Rose may be there, Bailey. And I haven't seen her since December 2012. And it'll be really nice to see her again if I do go to this thing.
That's awesome. Yeah, I hope. Yeah, I'd keep us informed of that. For sure.
You're invited if you want to show up.
Hey, thanks. Appreciate it. Sounds like a great show.
We'll give you a ticket tape parade. Yeah.
Fantastic. And also, AEW's All Out is this Sunday, right? The pay-per-view? Steve?
Sorry, yeah, it is, I believe so.
Yes.
So, yeah, I'm definitely been looking forward to that. So, I think Daniel Bryan will be there unannounced.
Sweet.
So, it'll be an interesting show to watch for sure. CM
That's
Punk
awesome.
And Darby Allin. Yeah, it'll be
cool.
Steve, will Sting be there?
I think he'll be there temporarily. I think he'll be there to support Darby, but I don't think he'll be ringside. So I think he'll be there, but not during the whole match. But he'll definitely be supporting Darby Allin before that match. But Malcolm, Brady asked about you on Tuesday, and I told him that I told them that you're okay because Adam contacted me back.
Oh, if they want to, anybody wants to contact me, you can give my number. I'll talk to anybody.
All right. If I don't have it, I'll get with Adam too.
Hey, you got my total permissions, Professor Steve.
Cool.
Well, thank you guys again. You guys totally make the show, man. It's been such a blast tonight. It was great to have Kathy with us and Chaz joining us again and everybody. And, of course, Mr. Hollywood and everybody. But Lynn Blatt had a great time. And for the listeners that listened in, you want to chat to archives, go to VOC Nation, look for WCW Retro and Giants, Monsters, and Beasts. And we'll definitely have another interesting topic to talk about next week for sure. But you guys take care. Keep in touch. Have a great rest of the week and weekend. And we'll see you next Thursday right here on WCW Retro. And with that, let's win the show with some free birds.
God bless you, Daphne.
Absolutely. God bless.
If I leave here tomorrow,